and welcome to this podcast from Bidfood. I'm Sarah Widette, Head of Insight and Customer Experience at Bidfood, and in this podcast we'll be talking about the issues and opportunities impacting food service. This first series will be all about our food and drink trend predictions for 2019, and this episode is called Good For Me, Good For You. Like all the other subjects so far in this series, it's a mega trend, which means it overlaps and overlays many of the other trends we'll be talking about. Good For Me, Good For You is a pretty prolific trend which impacts all aspects of our lives, not just what we eat and drink. In terms of food service, it has two strands, health and well-being and sustainability in the planet. It's all about eating well for the body and mind and eating well for future generations. It covers what we eat, how it's grown, sourced, cooked and disposed of. For this episode, the first person we're going to catch up with is Lily Carr, Senior Insights Executive. I caught up with her at the Business Development Centre. So there's lots of advice about how to eat healthy and be good for yourself, and sometimes it's quite conflicting. Do you think consumers really understand what advice is right and what they should take as actions?
I think it's really difficult. I think the answer is yes and no. I think as a consumer myself, you feel bombarded with headlines and articles all the time about what diet you should be following, what foods you should be eating. Even today on the BBC, there was another new diet around what's best for the planet and for you as well. And it's really difficult to then decipher what's best for you and what's actually going to keep you healthy. But there are some really good resources out there, like Change for Life and campaigns like This Girl Can. They're all around fitness and health. So I think it's about kind of using common sense and deciding what's best for you.
So if I want to go out there and eat some healthy dishes out there, where would you recommend?
There's loads of different places. I think lots of restaurants are offering kind of healthier options now. Some of the big ones like Giraffe have really integrated vegan options into their menu, so you can have beetroot burgers or jackfruit tacos, all integrated and signposted, so it's really easy to see which are the healthy options. If you want to go full health and fitness, you can go to Mackie Mayer in Manchester. So it's kind of a street food communal dining experience, but they do things like yoga brunches. So you can go have a yoga session and then eat your brunch afterwards. So kind of a fully integrated experience.
That was Lily Carr speaking there, our Senior Insights Executive. But next up, it's Samantha Elliott, our company nutritionist. Public Health England and the government have driven lots of activity encouraging us to make better choices and be healthier. So we've had things like the sugar tracks, initiatives around Change for Life. What's next on the agenda, do you think?
They've recently issued their Chapter 2 of the Childhood Obesity Strategy, which will be looking into things like a calorie reduction programme. We also are awaiting results of the calorie labelling on menus, potential legislation that should be coming out. They're doing an update on school food standards as well to align this to the targets that we should be consuming for sugar as a population. And then there's going to be so many more campaigns that are going out there to raise public awareness. This will be part of the Change for Life campaigns, but also NHS One U. You might have seen like the 400 600 600, for out the go lunches and that kind of thing. It's meant to be sort of a quick campaign to highlight to adults when they're eating out. For sake of argument, if you're having lunch, you should be looking to try and achieve 600 calories.
So what about here at Bidfood? What have we been doing to help consumers make healthier options, but also, I guess, help support those consumers that also want to be a bit indulgent as well? Have we just gone down the health route?
No, it's not just the health route. I mean, we have been doing a lot in that aspect. So to start off with, we've committed to Public Health England's sugar reduction programme. We've been working very hard to try and reduce sugar in certain food categories. And we've really been focusing on our everyday favourites range, because this is going to have the largest impact on reducing sugar from consumers. Because it tends to be the foods that are eaten more on a regular basis. We've also signed up to the Food Foundation's Peas Please campaign to try and increase the vegetable consumption for the country. And we have also developed a traffic light food report, which has nutritionally profiled all of our products, whether they're own brand or branded, so that customers can go through and see whether they meet certain criteria or standards, if they are having to try and achieve things like sugar reduction, or if they are NHS trusts and they're trying to work towards Secrin 1B. So it's really just giving them the information there, being transparent and giving them informed food choices.
Some people suggest that the barrier to healthy eating is it's expensive. What's your view on this?
I think there's definitely a misconception that healthy foods are automatically more expensive. I mean, obviously, if you're having things like smoked salmon and Asia berries and Manuka honey every day, then yes, it will in general be more expensive. A good option for making healthier foods cheaper also is choosing frozen vegetables. So you don't lose the nutritional content that much from frozen veg, but it also helps you to manage the shelf life of the product as well. So you have it for longer, which will help with the price.
That was Samantha Elliott speaking there, our business nutritionist. Now time to hear from Elise Rawlins, our sustainable development advisor.
Good for me, good for you is clearly not just about our health, but also the health of the planet. So we're seeing lots more initiatives looking at plastic, food waste, our impact on climate change. What, in your opinion, is driving this?
I think the biggest drivers around this are the recent news from our leading climate experts, the fact that we've only got 12 years to keep our global warming to a maximum of 1.5 degrees Celsius, or we will see things like extreme flooding and extreme droughts, which will have huge consequences all across the world. In regards to plastic, I think definitely the recent Sir David Attenborough Blue Planet documentary has really brought it home in, straight into people's living rooms, exactly the effects that plastic are having and the devastating consequences on our marine life. Lastly, I think with food waste, I think there's a lot more consumers realising exactly now how much is being wasted. The fact is that food waste, if it was a country, would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter.
That's what's driven it to date, but how do you see this trend evolving?
I think it's definitely going to create huge changes in the marketplace. Businesses are definitely going to have to provide different alternatives to single-use plastics, because that is just what consumers now are demanding.
That was Elise Rawlins there, our Sustainable Development Advisor. Thank you very much, Elise, and all our other guests, and thank you to you for listening. Please do take a moment to review and share our podcast. It will mean that more people can take a listen and learn about what's hot in food service for 2019. We're using the hashtag BidFoodTrends2019 if you want to join the conversation on LinkedIn, Twitter or Instagram. Remember, you can also subscribe using your podcast app so you don't miss any future episodes. But for now, it's goodbye.